Staff from the magazine Runner's World were out in force at Monday's marathon, both reporting and running. In the aftermath of the explosions, those same reporters, who usually cover races and create training regimens, began writing about the unfolding national tragedy. David Willey, Runner's World editor-in-chief, directed his magazine's coverage this week. It was a big switch, but for him, not entirely unprecedented.
I was in New York City on 9/11, and I was an editor at Men's Journal magazine and edited a piece that was all about firefighters. And several people on the staff and several reporters that we gathered very, very quickly did amazing reporting on the ground. That came to mind for me immediately, and we asked five of our people to stay in the city to begin reporting, piecing together what happened.
But did your reporters know how to report this?
We don't have people who work at Runner's World come here because they didn't get a job as a war correspondent, and so they came to Runner's World instead. So no, nobody is equipped for that or accustomed to that. In Boston, we never saw our role as being investigative reporters who were going to be on the stories that all the other major media outlets were going to be on. You know, what was the bomb made of? What does the city know? We immediately decided not to even try to chase those stories. Our audience, obviously, is runners, and our job, and we do this 12 months a year, is to collect runner stories into a package of words and images and videos that help people make sense of what's going on from a runner's perspective. The mechanics of doing what we do really weren't that different. It's just that the conditions were hard, and obviously the story that we were reporting on was one of anguish.
I mean, when you're used to collecting pictures of champions, how do you even make editing decisions? You haven't made those before.
Right. We did look at some photos and talk about whether they were too graphic, inappropriate. We did not rule anything out, though. After talking about them, we decided to use them, even though they were, you know, very bloody and painful to look at.
This is a question that's come up a lot this week. When is enough enough?
Yeah, and it's going to be hard to see where that point is, to be honest, Brooke. One of the things that is so unnerving for runners about this tragedy is that it was an attack on the marathon, even though I don't think anyone was trying to attack runners or the marathon specifically. I think it seems, I'm guessing, but it feels that way to people who are runners. It feels very close to home. And we are not sure how this is going to play out for us going forward. We've all had families waiting for us running races and marathons. So the 8-year-old boy who was killed watching his father, it's just absolutely gut-wrenching. I have an 8-year-old son who stood on the street watching me run races more times than I can remember. I don't know how I'm going to feel about the next time I run a big city marathon. I absolutely have no problem doing that. I'm not changing my habits, and most of our runners feel that way. But I can't tell you with certainty today that I'm going to feel good about having, you know, my children standing in a crowd necessarily. So we're not going to know when this story is, quote, over for us for quite some time. But having said that, our readers do come to us for all kinds of reasons, storytelling, advice on how to improve their own running lives. And we can't stop doing that. We can't take our eye off that ball.
David, thank you very much.
Thanks a lot, Brooke. Good to be with you.
David Willey is the editor-in-chief for Runner's World.